Welcome, everyone. For those who have never been here before, this is a space where we learn how to grow from the sugyas that we learn about in the morning. So far, you know, what have we spoken about? We spoke about learning how to daven the Torah we learned. That was the first week. What else have we done?
Psichas and
Tfilas Torah. Okay, what else? We learned that. Yeah, what was that about?
That was all about. It was a Ketzer Shem too.
That was about learning how to detach ourselves from things. Yeah, exactly. Learning how to leave where we come from and expand ourselves and grow.
Abdullah.
All right, Cal, you can read your notes. Very good.
I need to know. Good for him.
We spoke about. We did Shem Kesef,
yeah, we did.
Shavu Kesef.
Right. We spoke about expression. We spoke about the role of Svara, what it means to have your own logic. And today we're going to speak a little about Bor. Bor is my favorite of Hamazik, by far. And as the year goes on, it becomes more and more of my favorite. And it should become obvious. So, like, everyone can have their own favorite of Hamazik, but Bor is the deepest. That's the deepest. So good. The Gemara on Daf Nun Amid Beis. So it came up in our sugya on Daf. What did we learn about Bor? Which Daf?
Gimel Amid Aleph.
I think Gimel Amid Aleph on the bottom.
That's where the Tosfos is.
And it's quoted in Tosfos, right? But it's really the sugya is really Nun Amid Beis. And the Gemara says Amar Rav Bor Shechayva Aleph Torah, the pit, which the Torah speaks about, the Havala of Lola Chavata. Rav's approach that Bor is Hevel. Alma kasavar chavata karka olam hu demazka le. Okay, fine. Shmuel amar lahavala of kloshkin lahavata. Big machlokes. What happens when a cow falls into a pit? According to Shmuel, what's the damaging agent? Chavata. What does that mean?
The avira. No. The impact.
The impact, right? The floor. Hit the floor. Also the avira, you're right. But only specifically the floor. According to Rav, when a cow falls into a pit, what's damaging the ox?
Fumes.
The hevel. What's hevel?
The air. That's the
idea. Right?
So the fumes.
The fumes.
The way it was described, I think, like, it's like the fumes that come up from underground.
Underground fumes, which come up in every pit. Is that scientifically accurate? Are there fumes in every pit? He doesn't know. Right? I'm not sure. Fran?
Well, I don't know what hevel is. So.
You know, Fran has no idea what hevel is. Right, I was learning the sugya as I was like, okay, I try to figure out maybe it's gravity that pulls the ox down. You created a space, now there's room for gravity to pull the ox.
Reverse pasuk.
Not a good approach.
It's the dust. You can't breathe with all the dust.
The dust?
That's what reverse pasuk.
Reverse.
Back in when I was in a different shir.
Right? Another shir. That's good. I asked Rav Schechter.
He said toxic fumes.
I was like, what is hevel? I don't know. That's what he responds.
I think he told her
I don't know.
Fumes.
Schechter?
I'm pretty sure they told me that.
So he responded, yes, no. I said, what do you mean you don't know? He said that he learned this with Rav Tendler, scientific genius and rabbi. And Rav Tendler said he didn't know. So Rav Schechter was like, if Rav Tendler doesn't know, I also don't have to know. So we don't know what Havel is. It's probably something to do with bad air quality. I found an article online about in Rehavia, they just found this remarkable. I actually sent it to the Shir group in June or something like that, early.
Should we post it?
Over Sukkos. And they found under a playground, they found a massive cistern, which is what Bor used to look like. Okay, fine, a chop, bad air quality down there. It was like 400,000 gallons under a playground of a Bor from the times of the Beis Hamikdash. So it was like, that's what Bor was. I could hear this bad air quality down there. That makes a little more sense. Okay, fine. But that's so, at least Hevel is a little bit uncertain when it comes to Nezek. But Kash is like this. When we speak about the Bor and the Hevel in Avodas Hashem, so maybe it can be a little bit more clear. And our goal tonight is to try and clarify a little bit what we're speaking about when it comes to Avodas Hashem with Hevel. So, open question to the group. In times in life, we can find ourselves falling into pits that we have a difficult time getting out of. Right? For some people, a pit, you know, I'll open up. There were points in my life when my pit was I could not get out of bed in the morning. I'd wake up at 10:30, I'd wake up at 11 o'clock. I had a chavrus waiting, minion, whatever. Like, that was a pit and I couldn't get out of it. few months stuck in that pit. Right, that's a pit. What other kind of pits can we be in?
Complacency.
Okay.
It says, like, I'm fine how I am. Why do I need to grow? Why do I need to change anything? It's kind of a scary pit.
And have you been in that pit before?
Yeah.
Okay, what else? And more personal, what kind of pits have we been in? Chorusman Blues. Okay, what do you mean?
In the middle of the winter, it's depressing, cold, and foggy. You don't want to do anything.
You're saying, like, lack of motivation. Just wanted to, like...
Lack of motivation. Just touching on complacency. You don't want to get up. Nothing.
Complacency would be more like, why? In that case, though, you're blue and you acknowledge the fact that there's something that should be done. Complacency means, like, it's fine that I learned 5 minutes today. That's all the chiyuv is. What do I need to do more?
Just sitting in a one shear. When you're like, when you're not really, you don't really know what's going on in shear, instead of trying to pick yourself back up, you just space out or look on the computer.
You're saying even like focusing.
Not even like big moments, like long, like many days, but it could just be a few moments that.
Just like following the motions, not like living it, Day in, day out, morning seder, classes, whatever, just doing it because you have to do it, not because you want to do it. Not being mechadish. It's chashus.
So the pit of like the opposite of being refreshed, which is kind of like just being dead.
So you want to do airplane mode.
Airplane mode. Oh.
Autopilot.
Just being on autopilot for a while. Right. And these, yeah?
No, I was just talking about the emotional.
He doesn't have any.
I was going to say with airplane mode because, you're like, you work, but you're not, like, connected to the one above.
Ooh, ooh.
So, that's
very good. Very good. That's really nice.
So weighted.
So Lamaisa, we get stuck in pits. And there's lack of motivation. The question is, usually when you fall into a pit, especially if you're a cow, and we spoke about cows before, cows, we said, don't really engage with the world. They kind of just eat and poop and sleep. So if you're a cow, what prevents us from getting out of the pit? If, let's say, it's a day where we're totally unmotivated, we don't want to get out of bed. If we get out of bed, we don't really want to go to shiur, whatever it is. What prevents us from just jumping out of the pit?
Yetzer
hara. Okay, what does that mean in English?
We're lazy, yes.
Lazy.
You don't want to do it.
I think justifications, like in the sense, like you like instead of having to say, maybe what I'm doing is needs some change. It says like, no, it's fine. Like I'm doing this because I have to, which is fine. Like at least I'm doing it.
That's not really that bad.
Yeah, that's
kind of like what you were saying.
I think
go where you are. You might not need to grow.
Hello.
I mean, that's a huge bit. How many times have I heard people say like, oh, I'm just trying to get into Olam Haba? I'm like, that's not how it works. It's not a place you just like. Walk into, like, oh, I have the key, thank God.
I'll be right back.
I don't hear that very often.
Oh, I heard a kid saying, like, oh, I'm going to get him anyways, what's the difference?
Some of that. Right. So, we found our way into a lot. We spoke about the pits. And from my own experience, the pit that we most often fall into is a pit of like not being motivated, right? We don't want to do something. We feel, I'm not going to say clinically, but we feel depressed. We feel sad. We feel, this is not, I'm not getting up for this. Right? It's like a, especially guys, interesting guys in yeshiva find this problem a lot of like waking up for minyan. A lot of times it's a problem because like, I just don't feel motivated to get up. Or even if I do, like, I'm not really motivated to come on time. I'm not really motivated to do a lot of things. It's lack of motivation. That's the pit. And where does that come from? Hevel. Hevel havalim. Right over here. Omar Koheles. Hevel havalim akol havel. What does it mean when Shlomo says that everything's hevel? Everything's worth nothing. What does it mean? That what I'm doing doesn't matter. That the whole world is pointless. He zoomed out so much. Shlomo Melech, he was the smartest ever. He knew that no matter what I do, the world's not going to change. Nothing's going to matter. If I get up for chakras, who cares? It's a feeling of worthlessness. That nothing I do makes any impact. There's no point of me doing it. And that's what he goes with. Right? So why do we think these thoughts, they just happen? We don't know why we think them. We sometimes lack self-worth. We lack self-esteem. We think that I'm not that important that it matters if I'm 5 minutes earlier than I thought I was. I think no one's watching. I think that I'm whatever it is. Right? Hevel Havalim, it's all nothing. A Kol Havel, it's worth nothing. Right? So when do we read Koheles? That's already at Sukkos, right?
Yeah.
Sukkos. It's one. So I would say just a Derech Agav, like a quick Eitzah. I learned this one. If you're ever having one of those days where you feel like Mamish, you feel like Tzoya, and you feel like you're nothing, right? You feel like it's a terrible, terrible, worthless day. The best thing to do, because you feel worthless, the best thing to do is reach out to a friend or reach out to someone that needs your help. You have like a friend who's like alone in some college somewhere that like, you know, never really, you know, he's pretty lonely, whatever. Give him a call. Let him know you're thinking about him. Right? If an NCSY or you know is going through a tough time, you have the time for, use like whatever time you have in this day like this to reach out to someone who needs you. As many as possible. If you do favors to other people, already you feel like someone else needs me and you feel better. Because you're feeling bad because I'm not that important in my life. I don't feel loved. I don't feel necessary in the world. And then you reach out to someone else and you tell them, I'm here for you, whatever. You reach out to someone who's lonely. Immediately already you feel someone, you help somebody else, you feel like someone needs you. That's a really good Eitzah that I found. That, and even if it doesn't make you feel better, Lamaisa, you still help somebody else. Right? And it's like a really good, it's a really good practice for really bad days. You just like put it in your rainy day jar. That avoda. But truth is, it's actually much deeper than that. Take a look at this. Crazy, wacky medrash in Vayikra Rabbah. Amar of Yitzchak Lamaz Torah Derech Eretz Kishiyehe Adam Osa Mitzvah Yehe Osa Osa Belev Sameach. So he says, when you do mitzvah, you got to do it with joy. Sheilu Haya Ruvein Yudea Shekadosh Baruch Hu Machtiv Alav. As it says, Vayishma Ruvein Vayatzilem Yadam Haya Tonu Malicho Eitzel Aviv. There's a funky, pretty fantastical medrash that if Ruvein had known that what he was doing would have been written down in the Torah, he would have run in, saved Yosef, made a big hullabaloo. And the Medrash, I don't know why, I found this in a Makor sheet that I had a while ago. I skipped the Boaz. But it says something about Boaz and Rus. That had Boaz known that what he was doing would have been written down in the Megillah, then he also would have run after her, would have, you know, instead of just leaving the extra sheaves and stuff, he would have run after her, he would have sit, you know, he would have been Mechabit or as a queen. Had he known someone was watching. Right? And then the Medrash continues that nowadays, you know, it used to be that the Navi would write down the mitzvahs, and who's watching the mitzvahs? Now who's writing it down? Achshav Adam Osa Mitzvah, Mikosva, Eliyahu is writing down our mitzvahs when we do a mitzvah. Melech HaMashiach is writing down our mitzvahs. V'Kadosh Baruch Hu Chosam Ayideim. And Hashem is signing at the bottom of the sheet with all the mitzvahs we did. Okay, so there's a lot to talk about in this Medrash, because like, Shkayach, had they known someone was watching, they would have done a better job. Like, everyone would do that. Why is that a Chiddush?
They didn't bring people. Would chase after that extra honor of everyone reading it.
No, but it's saying it's a good thing. Had they realized that what they were doing would have been written down, they would have been better.
Like it's a praise.
It said as praise, yeah. It's so strange, right? It's like Yashar Koach.
There were people who influenced Reuven with all this cause of the, you know,
he's the, right?
Say about Aaron also.
Influential. Aaron and Moshe, right?
Yeah. The instruments.
Exactly. Right? What does it mean? Like, so, I tell you the answer is, what does it do? What we're talking about? The answer, we'll jump to our favorite Yontif for a second. We'll jump to Purim. So, we had Sukkos and Koheles. We just had Rus, which is Shavuos. And now we'll jump to Purim, because that's literally next week. And look at this. So, you guys are familiar with this man? Ever seen him before?
Yeah. One of our guests.
Kluger, one of our guests tonight. He wrote this unbelievable sefer I've been going through. He's a Baruch Hashem very alive. He's coming in a few weeks. He comes, be involved, be in the know when he comes. He's going to come to someone's apartment. He's going to give a shiur for an hour here. I don't know if it's here. I don't know if I'm neo chassidic enough. Yes. Yosef Kluger. Cool. It's probably Tola's apartment. I did have Ramat Frank here once. So that was pretty amazing. But anyways, he's got a base medrash in base. Beit Shemesh. This is Breslover influence. I have many of his books. And it's unbelievable. So this sefer I've been learning of his on Purim is, check this out. Bakasha Sash, and this is going to give us, he's answering the question of, you know, what do you do on Purim? What's the avoda of Purim? So good thing you came tonight, because we've got to figure out what to do next week on Purim. So Esther, you know, says, Kasvuna Doros. Esther goes up to the Chazal and she says, please write me down for the generations. Write down Megillas Esther. She has to ask Chazal to do it. Make it part of a yontif. A lot of people said, no, we don't want to do it. She begged and got it through. That Purim should be yontif and we should have Megillas Esther on Purim. Look what he says. Bakasha shel Esther, Kasvuna Doros. He bakasha b'chol Yehudi v'Yehudi shiyaseh mikol metziyah simei chayev Torah. Esther's Bakasha, Be'etzim, is really saying, make Purim for me. Make Purim for Fry, make Purim for Shuki, make Purim for Donnie. Make Purim for every Jew ever. And what does that mean? It means that every Jew needs to see his life like a Torah. A Megillah. Megillas Ezra. Megillas Mordi. Megillas Benjamin, Megillas Yosef. It's like, there actually is a sefer called Megillas Yosef. I looked it up. But every... Esther says, everyone, I mean, this is Kluger speaking, but we need to begin to see our lives because of Purim as a Megillah. What does that mean? How long did the Megillah take, the whole story?
15 years.
Something like that, right? 15 years, 19 years, something like that. But Esther alone, before even the whole mice happened with Achashverosh, she was there for 3 years. In the palace. But you think it's like a few months, whatever. This is the Megillah's newspaper clippings for years. That was so craftily put together. Why? For what purpose?
Look back and connect the dots.
And see what?
The connection.
And see Hashem. Because how many times is Hashem mentioned in the newspaper?
Zero.
Zero. Mm-hmm. But how many times is he in the newspaper?
Every time.
Every time. And that's the point of the Megillah. Davka, Hashem's name isn't written because it's a newspaper. It's literally the news. You read it, you look at the Megillah, you're reading the news, but it's... It was so craftily put together to show that Hashem did it. So it wouldn't make... If Hashem's name is in the Megillah, it doesn't teach you enough. His name's in every other sefer. The point of the Megillah is to show you that Hashem's name is not in the news, but look how he's really here. That's why Megillah is Esther, Megillah Hester, it's revealing the hidden, because the news is hidden, it's Teva, it's nature, but Hashem's really in every part of it. That's the point of the Megillah. So if Kluger says, Kasvuni the Doros means, don't just read the Megillah like that. Read your life that way. Look around the world, be Reuven and Boaz and say, Taka, this is going to be written down. Right? There's a Megillah of my life. There's a Hashem's hand in everything. I was making chicken nuggets today, the Morningstar ones, which are dairy, for a salad. And I, for some stupid reason, put the toaster on cookie making. And I was like, oh, it's all the same thing. Like, I thought the toaster is just like, how much time it is, but it's a very spitz toaster. Like, trying to get the inside done before they, like, so it was like, it wasn't crispy. And I said to myself, like, okay, this is the Gzeir of Hashem right now, non-crispy nuggets. And that's the Megillah.
Salad. What? It's a salad.
I put in the salad. Yeah.
Okay,
you're saying it doesn't matter anyways.
Yeah.
And that's the point. Hashem said, Ellie, it doesn't matter if you have crispy nuggets, it's going in a salad, it's going to get soggy anyways. Okay. Right, that... It's Gzeira, though, from Hashem. It didn't just happen to my nuggets. These chicken nuggets, Hashkocha. But I see it as part of the story. Right? You know, when I had the schus to go on NCSY Jolt. Because someone, E.T. Lustiger, came to me in the Beis Medrash and was like, Ellie, we gotta go to New Zealand for the summer. I gotta get out. He's like, I've been in the Heights for too long. I was like, E.T., I'm not going to New Zealand for the summer. He's like, let's just go. Let's get out of here. I'm like, have fun. Like, eventually that like relaxed a little bit to be like, okay, there's a summer program where they go to Austria and they go to Italy and Switzerland. Like, maybe we'll go to that. And, you know, someone else told me I should go. Someone told Ariane, I signed you up for a meeting. He didn't even ask him. Dave Moskovich, if you know him, just told Ariane, like, I signed you up for an interview. He didn't say, like, okay, you should think about it. Just like, you're interviewing. Like, that's what happened. And ultimately, you know, that's how we met and got married. And that's a Megillah. It's a Megillah right there, right? Happened over the course of time. But if you put the right clippings together, the right moments, okay, right? Now there's a Megillah. Hashem wasn't there, but he did everything. Right? You don't have to say Hashem's name, but Pashut, he did the whole thing. So that's Purim, is a state of mind. To enter into a Purim state of mind means... to begin seeing, Aleph Dar, to begin seeing that Hashem is doing everything. And to look from the Megillah into our lives. Look at this next thing for a second. To Al-Kain, the second paragraph. Bimei HaPurim, Mis'or Koach, HaKoach La'ir Le'yudi Eskol Cheshkas HaGalos. So on Purim, you can actually light up all the darkness of the Galos. Mimei HaPurim Lomeid HaAdam, Shekol Mash Orlov. In the Purim, you learn that everything that you go through, HaKolu Bashgach Elyon, Hashem's involved in it. The money viu al tikon anitzchi, to bring you to the eternal fixing Mashiach, in prat echad lirik. Nothing that happens in your life is empty, is hevel. Ulevasov yira eich mikol orech agolus v'astar anase ra kavod shemaim. And eventually, in the times of Mashiach, we'll see that every single thing that happened in the whole golus was just to be marved by kavod shemaim. It's going to light up everything. So that's why a lot of you hear a lot of svarim. Some Mechassidus svarim says more often that Purim is the light of Mashiach. The light of Mashiach means seeing how every single thing that Hashem did in the Golus, meaning what the heck happened in the Holocaust, right? No musig b'chlal. But in the times of Mashiach, we'll be able to understand, right? So Purim means that we're seeing Hashem in nature, in the environment, in the world. So getting a taste of Purim means seeing how we know why Hashem does things, or seeing His hand in everything, which means that Purim is a taste of the light of Mashiach. Right, so you might hear that Purim's light of Mashiach. Now you understand why a little bit. And to see that Hashem is involved in all of life, okay, fine, that's very empowering, but it's a nice vart. What does that have to do with Hevel? What does that have to do with us? What does that have to do with even more? How do we get out of the pit? What's going on? How do we answer it? I think it's the next step. The next step after this is you say, look at your life, and you say, okay, fine, Hashem is doing things. Then you say a three-letter word that Mama should set you on fire. Why? I was making chicken nuggets. Okay, I went in and asked why Jolt. Hashem did that, okay? But why? What does it mean that Hashem did that? That Hashem, creator of the whole world, what does it mean that He did this?
We have no idea.
Yeah, from Mashiach.
Maybe we don't know, but we know something. And I'll tell you this. Imagine if a CEO of a company of hundreds of thousands of employees was involved with what every janitor did every day. It doesn't make any sense. Hashem created the whole world of 7 billion people, of gazillions of things in the world, and He cares what happens to my own chicken nuggets. He cares enough to push me to a summer program where also Ariam was pushed, and that got us, that's the Megillah of Eliezer. Megillah's Eli.
And
Ariane. And Ariane. What? From Megillas Miri. Megillas Miri, right? What should we call it?
Well.
But that's the point, is that when we see the Megillah in our lives, you don't just say, okay, wow. Like, that's, Purim is incredible. Yuchaf, Hashem is pushing, making things happen. And Purim is great. When you see Hashem in the world, and you see what He does, now you're in Purim. But when you see why He does it, when you look at the world and you say, Hashem doesn't just move everything, but He does it because He cares about me. And because He thinks that what I do matters. Right? He showed me the path. He made things happen because my life matters. Because it matters if I go to davening in the morning. Because everything I do makes a difference. Because He looks at me and He says, Eli, I've got a job for you. Today, do it. I woke you up today. Every Moda Ani, Rav Monasech, cares about us. He wakes us up every day to do something. And He cares about us to do something. And He says, that's why I'm involved, because I think there's something for you to do. Now that sets you on fire. You wake up, you say, I'm not staying in bed anymore. Hashem woke me up. Hashem cares about me. Hashem, He's behind my whole Megillah. So when you know what Hashem is doing, now you're in Purim. When you know what it means that Hashem is doing it, now you're in Geula. And it's and Hevel of life, it's a whole Mishagas. It's thinking things don't matter. But when you realize that if Hashem thinks it matters, it matters. That's when you mess around with the words Hevel a little bit, it sets you on fire. Lahav. Right? It means a flame. Because if you mishkabab with the Hevel and you realize it's not really what it's supposed to be, then all of a sudden you're set on fire and your life's mamash. Olam acher legamre. And this, by the way, is just what... We'll finish up with this of Yaakov Moshe Chalav, Rebbe's great-great-grandfather-in-law. And not just great-great, just one great. The Rebbe's in Peshi's great-grandfather, I think. No, just grandfather.
He was pretty great.
Fantastic grandfather, that's what I'll say. says the Mishnah Berakhei Avos says that he was Cook's very close friend, Cook's Talmud. Talk about another time, but Mishnah Berakhei Avos says, you know where you're going to go. But know you're going to come in front of Hashem the King, and it sounds like a scary Mishnah. Sounds like, you know, be nervous. You're going to stand in front of Hashem at the end of your life. He says in Meimarim on the second page, the treasure, the godly treasure of being a Jew, that Hashem is involved with you. So he's going to demand things of you. Everything we do matters. Everything is written down. Everything Hashem is watching, because that's what it means to be a Jew, that Hashem cares everything we do. And that is why we can jump out of this pit, smash everything, and be set on fire the rest of our lives, because we know that no matter what happens, we matter to Hashem, and He cares about what we do. Hashem should bless us. We should be able to internalize this inyan and be able to really feel this and allow this idea to energize us. And to be zocher to live with Purim goggles and Geula goggles, starting now and increasing as we go on.
Amen.
Good Purim. Let's resume.